said, you can't get warned too many times and not be ready. Praise God, praise God, praise God. One thing I must say, though, Apostle was a little merciful on me, his baby girl. Because usually the boys find out the day of. I did find out Monday. So I got a little extra time. But after he had said it several times in service, and Wednesday I was doing something else, and he mentioned it last Wednesday, and Kirby asked me, she said, did you hear what he said? I said, okay, let me start getting myself together. Because when you get that call, you have to answer, right? Praise God. There's a few things I do want to get into tonight that God really has placed on my heart. Apostle has been actually working with us on a few things, our family. And so when he called me in his office, my mom called me and she said, your dad needs you in his office. Well, I'm usually around here handling business, so that's not an unusual call. But when I cut the corner, he was sitting at his desk and he was doing something else. And he looked at me, he said, you got it, Wednesday. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. My answer was, for real? And he said, yep, you got it. So my answer was, yes, sir. Amen. You know, and at that point, I told him, he said, you got something? I said, yep, exactly what God gave you to give to me. Amen. And I'm going to give that to you tonight. So real quick, we'll go before the Lord in prayer and then we'll get into it. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for allowing us to gather here tonight. We thank you, Father, for the care that you have for each and every one of us. We believe that you have a word for us in our situation. We thank you, Lord, that you'll divide the word several different ways to meet every need in this building. Right now, we open our hearts to receive. We open our minds to receive. And we thank you, Father, that everything that will come forth tonight will be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. What I want to talk to you about tonight, and basically it's a question that was asked to me, so I'm going to ask it to you. And the question basically is, what's on your mind? And we're going to talk about how to take authority over your thought life. I'm going to start out with a little story. When in high school, I played basketball. And growing up with brothers, that's usually one of those sports you get into. And my high school team had made it to state championships. And so I think we had to go down to Shreveport for the Sweet 16 competition. And I went with the team. My mom came, my grandmother, my mom's mom, she came. And they brought one of my little brothers with them. Now, this little brother is going to be remain unnamed because of what I'm about to tell you about the rest of the story. So it's two of them. You'll have to just figure out which one it is. But we were getting ready to go to a game. We were at our hotel. We were staying in one of these hotels that had, it was when you go out of the room, it was a rail there and you could see down to the other floors and things like that. So it was a bunch of metal rails. Well, I had walked off with one of my teammates and went to the bottom floor and looked up and I saw my mom and my grandmother. They were up there scrambling. They were doing something. Well, come to find out, the little brother that came with them was just running around playing and having a good time. At the time, I'm not going to call his age because then you're going to know who it is. At the time, he was young, and as little kids do, they like to check things out and try to figure things out and see what works, what doesn't work, and things like that. So when I looked up there, I saw that this particular little brother had some kind of way worked his head between these bars. Now the bars, there was not a big space, and in order for it to get there, he had to do some work. He did some wiggling, some twisting, and some turning to get that head between those bars. Now the problem came in when it wasn't fun anymore when he tried to pull that head back out the bars and it wouldn't come out. And so at that point, my mom and my grandmother were trying to make him maneuver and turn your head this way and that way, and they were yanking on him. He was howling because it was hurting. And so finally, and it's amazing what parents will do when their kids are in trouble, but my mom and my grandmother both grabbed the bars next to his head and they pulled as hard as they could, enough to allow him to slip his head out from between those bars. What I want to talk to you about tonight is how to get your head out of those bars. See, a lot of times, the enemy uses our thought life to stick our head in the bars. And we're maneuvering, trying to figure out how we're going to turn this way, turn that way to get our head out of those bars. But it's not until we activate the Word of God over that situation that's clouding our minds that we would get enough tension on those bars pulled apart for you to be able to slip out of it. Amen. Different seasons in your life, you might find your head trapped between the bars. I mean, if we're all human, sometimes I can get up in the morning and just look in the mirror and I'm looking at a person whose head is trapped between some bars. Because the enemy will try to feed you things about yourself. That's not true. You know they're not true, but those thoughts that are coming at you sometimes will find you stuck in a certain place. There are seasons in your life that your head gets stuck where it doesn't belong. The devil might tell you you're not enough, amen, that you're not loved, that I'm not smart enough. You find yourself, those of you who use social media, you'll find yourself looking at somebody else on social media and saying, oh, they got it going on and look at me. They're driving this kind of car. You know, this is a whole nother deal, but my whole thing about social media is if you're going to use it for entertainment, use it just for that. Because otherwise, it will be a playground for the enemy. And some of the other young people know I've said, you can take your behind the scenes and compare it to somebody else's highlight reels and think you have issues and problems that other people don't have. Believe me, some of these pictures are staged. You're not getting the whole thing, but you'll find yourself trying to compare yourself to what other people have decided to show you. Yes. So we can't allow, you know, these things are supposed to be for entertainment. It's supposed to be for fun, and that's all fine and dandy. That's what society has come to. But you can't allow these things to be the direction of your life, because we get our direction from the Word of God. You have to use the Word of God to tug on those bars to get your head out. Apostle Paul talked to us in Ephesians 6. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. And I'm going to start at verse 11. And I'm going to read about the armor of God, but there's a particular piece I'm going to, but we're going to read about the rest of it because it all goes together. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, in verse 17, I'm going to back up to, and taking the helmet of salvation. Because I'm talking to you tonight about your thoughts and protecting your mind, I want to focus a little bit on this helmet of salvation and the importance of you knowing what your salvation really means. The rest of the armor is very important. But if you think back when Apostle Paul was writing this, he was getting these references from the Roman soldiers. And if you can picture and imagine the Roman soldier with all of that armor on his breastplate, he has his shield, he has his sword, he has his feet shod and protected. But imagine that soldier out there and he's going to war, but he don't put on that helmet. It doesn't matter what other piece of armor he has. If he does not have that helmet on, that's what his enemy is going for. The sword is not scaring the enemy. The breastplate is not scaring the enemy because he's going for the part that's unprotected. Yes. Right. Now, if he goes out there and fight without that helmet on and get hit in the head, his arm will not work to swing that sword. Amen. His feet will not work to move where he needs to move. So the helmet of salvation is very important, and it's very important to guard your thought life. It's very important to pay attention to the things that are flowing through your head. Whenever a situation comes up, we're all human, and our first reaction is fear is one of the first things that try to attack you when something comes up, when you get a phone call that's not the best phone call, when, you know, you get a bad doctor's report, and you get a letter in the mail that's saying this payment is due and you don't have it in the bank. First thing that wants to grip you is fear. So real quick, I want to talk about how we overcome this fear, right? Because God has given us answers for everything that comes at us. It's just up to us to utilize and take it and work it in our lives. We're never out here alone and on our own. How do we overcome fear? Let's look at 2 Timothy 1 and 7. Second Timothy 1 and 7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear," we all know this verse, "but of power and of love and a sound mind." I'll read it again. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what?
Power,
and
love,
and
a sound mind."
To overcome fear, number one, we have to know we have the power. When you know you have the power to change something, fear can't stay.
Amen.
I mean, that's just, it's simple. When you know, okay, this might be the situation, but I have something to change it. I know I can change it. Then fear can't stay there. I'm not scared anymore because I know this thing has got to change because of what God has given me. In Luke 10:19, it says, "God has given us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over every power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Number two in that verse is love. Perfect love casts out all fear. That's 1 John 4:18. And I know I'm going quick through these scriptures because I got somewhere else I want to go. But 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made in perfect love." So number one, we have power. Number two, we have to walk in love. And number three is the one I've been headed to, is a sound mind. You might ask me, okay, what exactly is a sound mind? A sound mind is basically thinking the thoughts of God. If you think the thoughts of God, fear cannot stay with it. Philippians 2 and 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So the Bible tells us we can have a mind that's strong enough to combat and to deflect the things the enemy is trying to put on us. It's very simple. And I need everyone to make sure you catch this point, because if you catch this point, everything else is going to fall in place. Your mind is the access point by which Satan gains entrance into your life. If we can understand, Satan cannot get into your life through your body. You might be thinking, the enemy put this on me. In your mind somewhere, he got there first. Amen. The enemy cannot come into your life through your body. He can't come in through your spirit. He can't come in through your finances. He can't come in through sickness. It's by the thoughts you think that the enemy gets into your life and wreak havoc. The biggest battle we are facing is the battle in our minds. That is where the battle in this life is either won or lost. So if we can realize and understand we're not out here fighting flesh and blood, right? What you see on the outside is just the fruit of what happened at the root. Amen. So what you see on the outside is the enemy attacked your mind in some kind of way. And you've allowed that thing to sit there, and you've allowed that thing to grow. Once you allow it to grow, it's got to manifest on the outside. Amen. So what we got to do is backtrack a little bit and catch that thing at the door. Yeah. If we can catch it at the door, it will not and it cannot grow any further. Yeah. What you think about will ultimately result in your future. And I think Apostle did share this maybe a couple of years ago, but I want to go to it again for you to see the pattern that a thought follows before it shows up in your life. You have time to catch it before it shows up in your life. It's just us being lazy. If you get offended, then that was for you. It's just us, and I said us. I included myself. But it's just us being lazy and allowing things to just float and to have, you know, control in our minds and not attentive enough to what's actually trying to come in there. Your thoughts determine your decisions. That's number one. Your thoughts determine your decisions. From there, your decisions will determine your actions. So first you have that thought. The enemy's working that thought in your mind. Then you're going to decide something from that thought. After you've made that decision, the next step is you're going to act on what you've just decided from the thought the enemy put there. So your thoughts will determine your decisions. Your decisions will determine your actions. Your actions will determine your habits. Because once you start an action, from that thought where you made that decision, so you started this action, once you start that action, if you don't make a correction in there, you're going to keep performing that action. And keep, that's where bad habits come from. You're going to keep performing that action. Then that is going to become a habit in your life. Then your habits will develop your character. And your character will determine your destiny. Now, we done made it all the way to your destiny and how your life turns out. And it started with a thought the enemy put there. And so sometimes we don't think it's important enough to be keen on what thoughts are coming. And honestly, we feel like if we don't act on that thought, then it's not too bad. I'm sure Cain had some thoughts before he killed his brother Abel. I'm sure it was some thoughts, because see, that's his brother. You're not going to think about killing your brother. So I'm sure he had thoughts. He had jealousy. He was upset with his brother. But it never in a million years, I don't think he thought at the beginning he was going to kill his own brother. So that shows you every thought. I don't care how small you think it is. And sometimes we get pleasure out of being able to think a certain thought, but I'm not doing nothing. I'm not acting on it. So, you know, I'm still good, God. Doesn't it say in the Bible, when a man looks upon a woman and lusts after, he didn't do anything, but it was from his mind he committed a sin. It's the same thing. And so, you know, I don't like Sister So-and-so, okay? But I'm going to smile at her. I'm going to say good morning. Okay, so that's a thought going through your head. And you're figuring, because I'm faking it. And God, I didn't tell her I don't like her. And God, I didn't cut my eyes at her. I didn't say nothing ugly. That I'm still good. No, that thought that you know is not right. That's the worst part about it. You knew it wasn't right. You know that thought is not right. You're still out of the will of God. Now, when you start allowing those type of thoughts to sit there and to work because you like those, the ones you don't like and the results you don't like, they're going to have a door open to be able to come to, because your door is not closed because you're keeping the ones you like. Amen. And you can't pick and choose which bad thoughts going to run your life. You open the door, you let them in, they all come in. So we have to be very mindful of grabbing these thoughts. I'm not saying things are not going to happen to cause thoughts to come. That's life. We live in a world where the enemy is going to try to attack, right? But we need to understand and go back to this point. Your mind is the access point by which Satan gains entrance into your life. So that is the most important door that you will ever have to guard. Your thought life is the root to everything, and everything else is the fruit. The devil wants to bombard your life so that he can control every other area of your life. You know, if you concerned about your destiny, how is my life going to end up? You don't sit there and focus on your destiny. You go back and you focus on those thoughts, because we know the thoughts is what's going to determine ultimately my destiny. If you have bad habits, and a lot of times this is where we miss it, because we want to get at those habits. I got to stop doing this. I have to stop doing this. Or you want to tell the next person, you got to stop doing this. No, work on those thoughts. Those thoughts will change those habits. So you wonder why you struggle and you struggle year after year dealing with something. You don't want it. You don't want to be doing it. You don't want it to be a part of your life. But you have to know how to get it at the root. If you get it at the root, and the enemy wants you to focus on the wrong thing, is what it is. And so a lot of times he have us battling and fighting and fighting and struggling with something. You know, if you have a struggle in your life, you're struggling with this thing and you're struggling with this thing. And the enemy, he doesn't care about you struggling with this other thing. That's where he wants you. He wants your focus totally off on what you really need to do. But that brings us back to you focus on that thought life. Now, focusing on your thought life is not thinking, don't do that. Don't do that today. I'm not going to do that today. This is not what I'm supposed to do today. That's not what I mean when I say focus on your thought life. When I say focus on your thought life, you go in the Word of God and you find out what God says about what you're dealing with. and you focus on that. You find the scripture that ministers to that thing that you're dealing with, and you focus on that, and what will happen, there will be a flushing. See, because what you focus on expands. If you sit there and keep focusing on the problem, saying, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to be sick, I don't have this going on, I don't have that going on, guess what you're going to have? Exactly what you keep talking about. So you have to go to the Word of God, find exactly what it is that nails that thing that you're dealing with, and you need to flush your mind, flush your thoughts. You have to be intense about it. Because guess what? The enemy's not playing with you. The enemy's not lollygagging around and I'm going to shoot a thought today and he going to give you 2 days to catch up and he going to shoot us. No, he is on you. Y'all know this is true. He is on you. You have millions of thoughts that's just flowing through your head, shooting through, shooting through, shooting through. So you have to train yourself how to guard that door of your mind with the Word of God. We have to start checking every thought, good or bad. I'll explain to you why we're checking the good ones. We have to start checking every thought, good or bad, at the door of your mind. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10, and we're going to start at verse 3. We have to set shop up at the door of your mind and pay attention to everything that comes in. Okay, your home. It's where you live. Your family lives there. It's where you sleep at night. You're not going to just leave your door wide open for anybody to just walk in. You hear noise, you're not going to go check. You're just going to turn over in the bed. That's not going to happen. So why would you leave the most important door that you will ever have control of? Leave it unguarded. Because somebody might not physically walk in your door, but believe me, the enemy coming in. Now you have to realize he can't get in your life any other way. I mean, he's the father of lies, so he will make you think he's coming in through your body. He will make you think he's coming in through your neighbor. He'll make you think he's coming in some other way, but all those are lies. Because he has no ground, he has no authority to come any other way. And so God has given us instructions on how to take care of our minds, so if he gets in, it's nobody's fault but my own. I said my own. You say your own, but I said. Right. 2 Corinthians 10. We're going to start at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Here at verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's why I said you have to bring every thought, good or bad. Because sometimes what we think is good can turn out to be bad. So if we pass it all by the Word of God, then we will surely know what to let stay and what to put out. Amen. So it says here, casting down imaginations, but it says taking to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Your thought pattern is a choice. And you are in control of it. You know, somebody might say, well, I can't control everything I think. So, tell me this. If right now you were required to wear a screen on your forehead, and on that screen is everything you're thinking about shooting across that screen. Now you tell me how many people are gonna control some things you're thinking in here. so you can control it. I just wanted to make that very clear. Verse 5. Your thought pattern is a choice. You can control it. So you can bring into captivity. Now, God is telling us to bring these thoughts into captivity. So that means we have a right, we have the supplies, and we have the authority to do it. God did not say, I'm going to come down and clean your mind out once a month. That is not his responsibility. His job is to equip us to be able to guard our own mind. You can't always control what thought comes to your mind, but you can control how far you let that thought make progress in your mind and make progress in your life. The first thing you have to do is check, does this thought agree with the Word of God? If it does, well, okay, you got to know the Word of God. Let me back up a little bit. That means you have to study. You have to pray. You have to allow God to talk to you and to minister to you. That way, when the thought does come, you have that word on the inside that can come up and it flow out automatically and stop that thing. Okay? But if we're watching TV, I'm not going to call no shows. If we're watching TV or playing on our phone, are playing on our computer more than we're reading the Word of God or listening to for what God has to say or focusing on the messages we're being taught, then what's going to come up? If it's not there, it can't come up. Amen. And so if you don't take the time, I'm not saying, you know, when we were growing up, I know I'm jumping, but when we were growing up, because our dad was the pastor, kids at school thought our life consisted of praying and reading the Bible all day. And they thought we were always on our knees in the corner. And we had prayer meeting with our daddy every day, all day. And I'm going to be totally honest with y'all. We did not have a lot of Bible studies in our house. Now, don't act like we didn't get the word. We did. Y'all could tell we did. But what happened in our home was it was lived every day. If something came up, if we had a question, we were able to go ask about it and we got us a lesson right then and there. So it was more of not beaten into us. It was more of taught through life. You know, what people do in their house, that's their business. We didn't, just because those steps were taken in front of us every day, day after day. We saw situations come up, and we saw my parents stand on the Word of God, and we saw them use scriptures, and they quoted scriptures, and they prayed with us about certain things. You know, we've had situations, if you guys could know some, we've had situations come up in our family that Leroy Jr., when he was a baby, they told him he was going to always have heart trouble all of his life. Does he look like somebody that got a heart problem to you? Played ball, played baseball, whatever. But you know, when that happened, I wasn't there. He's older than me. But from the stories they tell me, they attack that thing with the word. Amen. Doctors don't know what happened. Darnell, when he was a baby, was in the, just he, one day he was walking. He was real little, had just started walking. And then one day he had just stopped walking. I mean, we couldn't get him to stand up. We couldn't get him to put pressure on his right knee. I think it was his right knee at all. So my parents ended up having to take him to the hospital. Now, I was older at this time, and so even when he was in the hospital, I was allowed to stay with him if my parents had to go somewhere. So this one, I really walked this one out with him. I saw this one firsthand. And so Apostle, he was always sticking that word on everything that came up. I mean, that was like bullets. Wow. Every time something came up. And so I'm sitting there watching the doctors come one day, and he got fluid on his knee. We don't know what's going on. The doctors were confused. And the next day, he was up and walking, and the doctors say, we don't know what happened. Well, you know, that did something for me as a child. We didn't have to have a Bible study about that, because I saw it happen before my eyes. And so it I'm not saying, back to what I was talking about, I'm not saying you have to be on your knees 24/7. I'm not saying you got to be climbing up the wall, quoting scriptures and slinging oil. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is be consistent. Set you a time, talk to God, and let him talk to you. Simple as that. If you be consistent, I always said, you know, people, they can pray and pray and pray and pray for a long time, and something come up in their life and they the first ones to fall and cry. Why was that? They did a lot of praying with no substance. Because if your focus can be 15 minutes of talking to God and listening for him to talk to you, then that person over there for hours rambling on for an hour to say, I prayed an hour. So it's just make the time. That's all I'm saying. Make the time, and when the time come and you need it, it will be there. When the time come and you need it, it will come up. I've seen it, and I've done it from what I've learned. You can't always control the thoughts that come up, but like I said, you can control how much progress it gets in your life. You can control how much of a foothold it gets into the things that's going on in your life. So you have to ask, does it agree with God's word? If it does not agree, you need to handcuff it, take it captive, and brutally beat it. Okay? I mean, like your life dependent on it. How do you brutally beat it? The word of God will take down anything you're dealing with. The thought comes to you and says, you're a failure. What do you say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror. The thought comes, you're never going to make it. You say, I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. The doctor says that you're going to die. So just go ahead and accept it. That's this thought is. You're going to die. Just go ahead and accept it. You have to declare, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. See, these things got to be in there. Because the enemy's coming. That's just the life we live in. But there's no need for us to be in fear, because once again, we have power, we have love, and we have a sound mind. So now that we figured out how not to fear, then we know we got to take that word of God and we have to beat these thoughts. You beat them. If somebody, this is my thing. I got children. I have 4 little boys. And if we're out somewhere and somebody decides they're going to run up on us, right? I don't care what they look like. The mother in me. I grew up with brothers now. The mother in me will fight like my life and my child's life depends on it. I mean swinging. I ain't talking about, I'm talking about just... This is how you have to be towards thoughts that don't line up with the word of God. You got to be ready to duke it out and let the enemy know, no, you are not coming in here. You know, the thought comes and says, just accept how bad your financial situation is. That's just life, right? What do you say? Christ became poor so that I could be rich. The Lord has pleasure in my prosperity, and the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. God didn't put this stuff in the Bible for us to get our shout on. He put it there for us to have control over what happens in our lives. See, this is what you have to understand. The enemy does not care how much you run in church. We get happy and, you know, ain't nothing wrong with it. But if you're doing it and you ain't got nothing guarding your mind, When you walk out of this door, he's going to be right there ready to get you. He doesn't care how much you shout, how much you stand up in church. He'll let you do all of that in peace. He ain't going to give you no problems. He's going to make sure your feet work. He's going to make sure your hand can clap. Because, see, he wants you doing all that and focusing on that just so long as you don't take that time to feed that word and guard your mind. He wants you to have a good time at church. It's okay. Have a good time at church. See your friends. Get happy. Y'all know it's true, because when you walk out that door and Monday morning come, then you really know who got the word and who guarding their mind. When you get back to that office with them other people, then you really know if you got what was said that Sunday. Y'all know it's true. Turn to Psalms 18. Psalms 18. We're going to talk about exactly what we're going to do to these thoughts. Once we've guarded the door and we realize this thought has come, we have settled that it does not agree with the word of God, then what's the next step we take? Psalms 18. And we're going to look at verse 37. It says, I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. Now, enemies here, the enemies we're talking about is your thoughts. Yeah. Satan is our enemy. But now that we know the only way he can get in is through thoughts, right here, we're going to put thoughts in here where the enemy is as we read this. It says, I have pursued mine enemies. I've pursued mine thoughts and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again until they were consumed. You have to pursue your thoughts, your enemies, and take them over. Chase them down. Okay, so they get to the door of your mind and they slip in. Your first thing is you on pursuit. You got to chase it down, see where it's going, and stop it before it gets there. Amen. Aggressive actions against negative thoughts that lie to you is very important. Verse 38, I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. Verse 39, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. All of this is talking about your thoughts now. Verse 40, thou hast given me the neck of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. That means I'm going to choke them out. You give me the neck, I'm going to choke them out. They cried, okay, they cried, but there was none to save them. Even unto the Lord they cried, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them, small as the dust. Now, y'all know that's a beating if you're going to beat something small enough to be dust. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. This here is telling us, okay, you didn't handcuff those thoughts. You have to be relentless when it comes down to guarding your mind. You have to be relentless. You don't, a thought comes and you change your mind or you kind of clear that thought out a little bit. It's coming back. We know that's the only trick in his book. So, in order for it not to come back, you're going to beat it to dust, little pieces where you can't eat, gone. You got to do it. You can't be lazy. You can't be distracted. You have to go after it with violent force. That's the only way it's not going to come back. Now, I am. I took a trip not too long ago, and I had to go minister in Richmond. And so I'm a person, when I travel and come back home, especially if we travel with the kids, that was really a trip, flights and everything. But I'm that person, and I'm sure I'm not the only one in here, but you don't have to tell me it's you. I'm that person that when I get home from traveling, like when I first get home, I take that bag and I might sit it in the corner. I ain't gonna unpack it right away. I ain't got time for that. I'm tired, and y'all know some of us do it. And we'll go back in a couple of days and clear it out, right? And so that bag, when we were in Richmond, I put it in the corner. And so I said, I'll get to that later. So a couple of days later, I'm looking for, actually it's this particular black shirt. Couldn't find it. Right, I'm digging, I'm checking in my kids' clothes, couldn't find the shirt anywhere. You know, and you know how it is sometimes, that's just this particular thing you want to wear. It's yours, you know it's yours, you know it's in this house somewhere, you know, so then it's bothering you that you can't find, and it's just a basic black t-shirt, you guys, but it's bothering you just because you know it's yours and it's there somewhere. So, I'm hunting, I can't find it, I'm getting frustrated, I'm getting a little vexed, because now somebody didn't move my shirt, I didn't put it on somebody else. It wasn't until I looked in that corner and was like, oh, let me check the bag. In the bag was the black shirt. But it wasn't until I unpacked that bag that I found what I needed at the time. See, when you come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, Apostle is packing a bag. Everything he's teaching, he's packing a bag. But if you walk out of here with your bag and sit it in the corner when you get home, because I'm going to get to that later, then over here the enemy's waiting for you and you have what you need. But you didn't take the time to unpack that bag that's sitting in the corner, and the devil is whipping you. We have to take this stuff seriously. We have to see how important it is to receive what's given to us. Y'all, not everybody's getting this. Let's just be real. It's the honest to God truth. Not everybody's getting what you're getting. So I've always known too much given is much required. You held accountable for what you know. Okay. So the enemy would like to take down somebody that's getting this much work because he wants to prove it ain't working. But it's not that it's not working. It's just the fact that we ain't working it. The bags are packed. Every time you leave here. But if you're anything like me, when I get off that flight and get home, because see, I'm tired. Yeah. I'm tired. I don't feel like digging through that stuff. And so I can get to it in a couple of days. You walk out of here with your bags on Sunday and say, well, I'm not going to listen. I just heard it. I don't need to listen to it again today. I'm going to listen to it tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, then something else came up and this girlfriend called and I'm going to go run here to this store. You know what? I'm going to listen to it the next day. I'm going to listen to it tomorrow. And before you know it, you didn't got down the line. You have not rehearsed the things that were given to you. And so I'm going to say this. Then when something comes, we want to call Apostle and say, Apostle. And he's not going to do it, but sometimes I wish he'd say, didn't I get that to you Sunday before last? He's not going to do it. But he's there for you guys. He is. But there are some things that you got in your bags that need to be unpacked. It's very, very, very important. We take this stuff as life or death. It's very important that we take everything we're getting and we take it and unpack it and store it and put it in those drawers. That way, I can find my black shirt when I need it. The greatest miracle that can be done is not on your circumstances, but it's in your mind. A lot of times we're looking, God, change this, change this. What are you thinking about this? You know, God, change this situation. You know, God, fix it. Take care of it for me, Lord. I know you can. He can, but you're blocking him because you're thinking a different way about it. You know, thoughts are going to come. The enemy's going to attack. But you have to work the word. Work the word. Repeat. See, confession. Confession is not for the person sitting next to you. Your confession is not to say, I got up this morning and did my confessions. I'm better than the person that didn't. Mm-mm. Confession is not for God. Confession is not for God to move, you guys. A lot of times we think, I did my confession, so this should come through. Confession is for you. Confession is rehearsing what God says about a situation, what God says about you, so your mind can change about that situation, so God can do something about it. Confession is you flushing your own mind. You know, a lot of times people like to say confession is to be proud, because I do confessions. Does your life show your confessions? Because if we're taking confessions as a grain of salt, as a routine, as a, like you, part of your job, I did my confessions today. Girl, I did my confessions. I confessed over my whole life. I confessed over my children and my dog. I confessed over everybody. Now, what good did that do if it didn't change anything in your mind? You have to be conscious of what you're doing. When you do something, you can't just do it out of habit, out of routine. Apostle told me do it, so I'm doing it. That's good, but you got to know why you're doing it. Then once you know why you're doing it, you have to make sure while you're doing it, you're focusing on the results you're going after. This is what we do with our thoughts. We overtake them, we beat them, we pursue them, we conquer, we subdue, we defeat, we destroy, we beat them to fine dust, and we cast them out and trample on them. You can't just hope they go away. You have to deal with them. You can't just say, it's not, oh, that's not that bad of a thought. I mean, it ain't really lining up with the word. It's like right on the edge right there. And so you're like, well, that one's not that bad. All it's trying to do is get through the door. Once it get through the door, that thing will break down like RoboCop and become something totally different than what you thought it came in as. So every thought, I can't stress enough how relentless you need to be about your thinking and things that come through your mind. The attitude you have in the wilderness will determine how long you stay there. So what determines your attitude? What you've been thinking. So you wonder why this situation is going and going and going. And, you know, God, I hadn't seen no relief yet. God, why hasn't it changed? Because you've been thinking some things that's not lined up with the will of God. Now, you've been doing actions. But those actions, you come to church. You early, you attend prayer. You attend prayer on Saturday mornings. You attend prayer on Wednesdays before church. You have Bible study. You watch all the conferences online. You came to school of ministry. You did everything. If your mind still got those negative thoughts that's against the word of God, you wasted your time with all that. I mean, it's the honest to God truth. It's a waste of time because the enemy's still in there. If he's in there, your actions can't change it. So you need to look at your neighbor and say, what's on your mind? Mm-hmm. It's very, very. We're going to rethink this thing now, huh? You know, somebody might say, and I'm almost finished. I'm almost done. I'm about to get down from here. Somebody might say, well, you're asking, what's on your mind, Newton? That ain't a good answer either. That's just as bad as the negative thoughts. An empty mind is just as dangerous as negative thoughts. Empty space is a place, and the enemy is looking for a place to settle. So just being idle, just floating in la-la land, is just as dangerous than letting these negative thoughts come in. Because, see, the enemy feel like, oh, I got a playground right there because they don't have no good or bad in there. I can stuff whatever I want in there. So it's very important, once again, because I'm about to wrap this up, you guys. It's very important for us to remember the only way the enemy can get in is through our what?
Mind.
It's through your mind. There ain't nothing deep about this. There is no other explanation I have for you. There's no dissertation I have for you. The only way he can get into your life is through your mind. Now, all this other stuff you see on the outside, it came from him getting in your mind. The other battles you're facing, it came from him getting in your mind. So we're not going to focus on this battle. We're not going to focus on this sickness. We're not going to focus on my child doing this. We're not going to focus on this thing going on at work. What we're going to focus on first, we're going to come back to ourselves, focus on our mind, handcuff those thoughts. We're going to beat them until they're gone. And then we're going to see God work in our lives. I'm going to read this real quick. I was reading something the other day and this statement came out and it made sense to me. It says, whatever you hold in your mind will tend to occur in your life. If you continue to believe as you have always believed, you will come to act as you have always acted. If you continue to act as you have always acted, you will continue to get what you have always gotten. If you want different results in your life or your work, all you have to do is change your mind. That's it. Thank y'all. Praise God. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Real quick, you may be seated. Let's get ready for tithes and offering. This whole mind thing works for your finances too, you guys. What are you thinking right now as you put that in that envelope? You know, when a thought comes, I'm not going to start teaching again, but when a thought comes, one way to detour that thought or get it off track is to speak out your mouth. If you can't change it in your mind, because sometimes things are in your mind and it seems strong, then you speak the word from your mouth. If you speak it out your mouth, you're going to cut that thing off at its tracks. When you say it out your mouth, it's going to cut off whatever's going on up here. I'm not teaching again, y'all. I just wanted to get that one out.